listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I'm going to share with you this message this morning that I believe is germane to our journey as a people. So if you would, take your Bibles today, and I'm going to ask that you turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Before I get to that passage of Scripture, I do want to say some things that set us up for what is the substance of this word this morning. When you were born again, how many in this room have been born again? Awesome. When you were born again, you became a citizen. Say citizen. You became a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are now a part of God's purposes on the planet. So in a nutshell, we are kingdom citizens. And that's a huge, huge revelation, should you get it. That means we support, we represent, and we advance. We've been called to advance the kingdom of God and everything that is with everything that is within us. Put simply, church, we are Jesus people every day and all day long in our lives. I don't know about you, but if you've been scanning the news over the weekend, you'll recognize this story. It's a story of what God is doing this weekend at the Auburn University in the southern part of this country. I don't know if you know this, but there has been a huge Christian gathering on campus, which led to moving off campus to a lake about a half a mile from the campus. There, they baptized 200 college students. Coach Freeze of the Auburn Tigers baptized one of his football players in water. Well, he's getting all kinds of flack right now. And the university is getting a lot of flack for what is happening on that campus as Jesus is being elevated in that place. And that's because some people have chosen to become identified with Jesus in a very real way. How many know when we get identified with Jesus, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest for sure? Being sold out and radical for Jesus is our mojo. It's what we're about as a people. But some modern Christians today don't find and fit that picture. I want to talk to you this morning about being sold out for the Lord and what that looks like and how we can fix some of our problems related to being sold out for the Lord. Can I talk into the right crowd? Anybody here in being radical for Jesus in this place? Come on, church. That's our destiny. That's our goal. That's our mojo. Now, there are many, many reasons why Western Christians don't get excited and proactive when it comes to the things of the kingdom. I'm going to suggest maybe three of these this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. One of the first reasons that we don't get as excited as we ought to about the ways of the kingdom is that because many Christians today, many Western Christians today get themselves distracted in this journey called life. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, because Paul addresses this problem. Can I say it this way? The problem existed 2,000 years ago. That's why Paul addressed it. And here's what Paul said with regard to Christians getting distracted from being sold out and radical for God. Here's what he said. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself, or in other words, gets distracted in the affairs of everyday life. How many know everyday life can consume you? It can get you distracted. It can get you off course. But no soldier in active service entangles himself in everyday life. So that we don't do that as kingdom people. We don't do that so that we may please the one who has enlisted us as a soldier. Can I ask you this morning, who enlisted you to be a soldier for God? Jesus enlisted you. When you were born again, He did not only save you to escape hell, but He saved you to be an instrument of righteousness on this planet. Can I get an amen from that this morning? So sometimes believers get themselves distracted. Sometimes it's as simple as sin in the life of a believer. How many know there's nothing quicker than sin that'll drag you down from being effective for God? Now, that I'm going to tell it to you this way. Sin is an easy fix. You just need to recognize your sin. Ask for forgiveness and move forward in obedience to Jesus. That's an easy fix for sin. But sometimes we cudgel it and we play with sin and we entertain it in our life. That's when it becomes problematic. So I gave you two areas where we as modern day Christians can go sideways. One is we get distracted. The second is we entertain sin in our life. I'm here to tell you, both of these are fixable. The third area that we tend to go sideways in is a feeling of inadequacy that is born out of some kind of disorder in our life. That disorder can be physical, or it can be an emotional disorder that takes us on a pathway outside the realm of God's goodness and grace. And this can become a more complex problem. I want to reference a new movie that's out, a new Christian movie. It's just out. It's coming out. It's called I Can. How many have heard of it? Well, you will hear of it. It's about a collegiate athlete She was born without an arm or a deformed arm. And she excelled in women's softball. That's a great story, but it's more complicated than that. She was born out of wedlock. Both her parents were Christians and were involved in an extramarital affair. Having said that, it gets even more complicated than that. Her Christian father attributed her deformity to his sin, and so she grew up with the statement that she is her problem physically with no arm was a result of their sin, and so she's a product of sin. Can you imagine the complexity in this young life? I'm going to encourage you to go see the movie. But I mention the movie, I mention her case, because she's only the tip of the iceberg with what kind of confusion that exists among Christian people today of who they are and what is their role in life. Fortunately, this young lady got her head straight and she's figured it out that God made her beautiful and perfect. And when she yields her life completely to God, God can use even the inadequacies of her life to send out a message that God is capable of redemption. You got to see this story. It's a powerful story. And if we're ever going to advance God's kingdom, church, we have to come to a place where we're dealing with our emotional stuff, like insecurities and everything else that goes with that, so that God's kingdom can go forward. So what did I say so far? I said that we are citizens of God's kingdom if we're born again. We've been called to advance that kingdom, but sometimes we get ourselves high-centered on things like our distractions, sin, and disorders in our life. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is bigger than all of that. And if he can ever get your attention, if he can ever get your focus to be riveted on the kingdom of God and centralized on him, it can be a game changer for us. So I want to talk to you this morning about those disorders that keep us from being effective for God, that keep this church from being effective for God. How many know the church is nothing more than a collection of people? We're the church. It's not this building. So when we're talking about this church, we're talking about us, folks. And what keeps us from being effective are these things that the enemy throws at us, and we get ourselves hogtied. We get ourselves rendered ineffective so that we are, in a sense, neutered from advancing the purposes of God. So let me ask you a question this morning. How many here, don't need to lift your hand, have ever felt insecure? I felt insecure. I feel insecure every week. Maybe you're living in that world right now. And by the way, insecurity isn't rational, doesn't make sense. Even leaders, successful people who seem to have everything going for them can feel and do feel, I might add, insecure. But this insecurity can undermine our effectiveness, it can undermine our service, and can undermine our well-being as a people of God. And we see this clearly in the life of a Bible character in the Old Testament. And I want to focus on him for the balance of our time today. By the way, he was the first king of Israel. And his name was Saul. And I'll reference him this morning as King Saul. Despite being tall, dark and handsome, he had a deep sense of insecurity. God picked him. God handpicked him to be the first king of God's people. He struggled with this insecurity, and if it could happen to him, I want to suggest to you this morning, it could happen to any one of us as well. I want to give you five clues to help you spot insecurity in your life. Because if you can spot these in your life and deal with these in your life, you can be a game changer for God. So I'm going to say it this way. I know I'm insecure if, and I'm going to give you five hints, clues this morning. I know I am insecure when others do well and it bugs me. Anybody identify with that? When others do well and it gets the best of me. When you see others succeed, your thoughts veer into this direction. How come they are being honored and I am not? Why is she being recognized? Why don't I get the raise? Why does somebody else in the office get more money than I do? I want you to note Saul's response to the recognition that David received. Now let me tell you who the players are. The king is Saul. David is nothing more than the shepherd boy. But he's a successful shepherd boy. And this successful shepherd boy was quickly elevated into military prominence. And because he was successful in little things, God quickly promoted him, and he became a very successful warrior. And when he became a successful warrior, he got to marry the king's daughter. So now he had the king's daughter living as his wife with him. And furthermore, he became a bonded friend with the king's son named Jonathan. This is getting really complicated. But what happens is David's success irks King Saul to the point that King Saul seeks to take David's life, who is now his son-in-law. And he would have taken the life of his son Jonathan as well, because he lived in this deep, deep world of insecurity. Rather than being glad for David's military victories on behalf of the kingdom, Saul resented David's success. Question: when others do well, how do you take that around you? The second clue is this: I'd rather do nothing than risk looking bad. Sometimes we fall into that trap. That's an enemy's trap set for us. After God called Saul out of his shortcomings, Saul became emotionally paralyzed as a leader. And he took this posture that he'd rather do nothing than fail. He was afraid to do the wrong thing. He became frozen, and as a result of that, very, very ineffective as a leader of the Israelites. Let me ask you, like Paul, do you ever feel afraid to fail? Look deep into your life, and maybe it's because you are shackled by insecurity. Are you willing to take risks for God? Let me tell you, as a spiritual leader of people, as a leader of this church, I'm here to tell you that I have over my lifetime been a risk taker. And I can't help it when I lead people, a church. The church is going to be called into risk-taking. But if we are bound up with insecurities, I want you to know it's going to be very, very difficult to advance if we don't deal with our insecurities, because moving forward with God is going to be filled with all kinds of risks. And we've got to trust God. We've got to have faith that God's going with us. All right? I'd rather go in risky places with God than sit back on a couch and watch sports all day long. That's where I would rather be. All right? Number three. Here's a characteristic or an identifier of insecurity. I take myself too seriously. What's that look like? Well, if you can't admit your faults, or if you can't laugh at yourself. You ever laugh at yourself? We do some of the weirdest things as people. We're going to step back and laugh at some of the things that we do. However, if others laugh at you because you say something silly or make a mistake, does that make you boil over? Then here's my advice to you. You got to learn to chill out. We all make mistakes. And King Saul became so stressed out, obsessed with power, jealous of David, consumed with himself that he couldn't enjoy laughter, a light moment. He lived in a perpetual funk. And that's where he found his life. Let me give you a fourth clue that we're bound up emotionally. I put myself down and I can't accept a sincere compliment. Even though David persistently honored and respected King Saul, Saul refused to receive a compliment from David. He could not accept David's loyalty or even feel comfortable around his perceived rival. Question is, do we feel the same way? Do you shrug off a compliment with some kind of quip? Do you hide behind cynicism? That might be indicative of being bound up in some form of insecurity. Let me give you a fifth this morning, and a last one. Do you think people are out to get you? Is that a syndrome that plagues your life? I want to remind you, this is a terrible way to live your life. It's a horrible way. But it's obvious in Saul's life. His anxiety grew into paranoia. It provoked him to attack others, and Saul almost speared David, his son-in-law at the time, and he would have done the same to Jonathan, his own son. Neither of these two had done anything disloyal at all. But that wasn't how Saul took it. So are you constantly looking over your shoulder? Are you assuming every comment is a conspiracy against you? You need to get fixed up here, healed, in the name of Jesus, so that we can go forward as a family, as a church, as a group, so that we are not hung up on all kinds of stuff that renders us ineffective for the kingdom. I'm sure that most of us here want to succeed in our spiritual calling. Amen? We have one life, just one life to live. And as far as I'm concerned, I want to live my life sold out and radical for God. That's the way I want to go down. Sold out and radical for God. And so today we need to recognize that one of the biggest things that holds us back are these emotional tie downs that render us ineffective for God. Insecure people often become self-absorbed. They become tiresome and annoying. They become very, very delicate when it comes to being ministered to. I know Anne ministers to a lot of people. She's got far more grace and skill sets and patience than I do. She will use choice words that will help people, I tend to be like a bull in the china shop. But the end result is to get people moving in the right direction, healed up, so that we can effectively advance the kingdom of God. If you find people are pushing you off because you are consumed with yourself, that might be a danger signal for you to pay attention to. A personal abiding sense of security, where does it come from, church? It comes from abiding. It's a byproduct of abiding with Jesus. We've heard a lot about hanging with Jesus this morning. Our young adults, our church culture is to be with Jesus. And when we abide with Jesus and we're in a right relationship with Him, these quirks that we pick up along the way can easily be dissolved, and we can get all healed up so that we can advance and move without feeling that we are personally inadequate. You see, I know who I am because I know whose I am. And I know where I'm going. And nothing can shake that. One of the things that I got from the movie, and I'm mentioning movies a lot, and I'm really not a movie goer, but I pick and choose my movies, all right? The one thing I got from the movie, The Jesus Revolution, was the boldness of a guy named Lonnie Frisbee. By the way, I really get a charge out of movies that are about real stories, and this is a real story. Lonnie Frisbee, to me, first was a character in a movie. And I found him to be authentic. I found him to be truly an instrument of God that was used by God. Then I came across an interview, a documentary put out by two very close friends of mine, one being Dennis Peacock and the other being his wife Jan. And they rehearsed their earlier days of the Jesus Revolution and when they came to Christ in the Bay Area. Dennis has preached in this church many times. Some of you know Dennis Peacock and are acquainted with him. But he tells the story of his initial encounter with Lonnie Frisbee. Now, I have to tell you, Lonnie Frisbee has had a lot of hang-ups in his life, but he was no doubt an instrument of God. And I tell you this story because he was unquestionably a young man who knew Jesus. And he was a young man who knew who he was in the kingdom of God. So when he walked into Dennis and Jan's flower shop in San Francisco and encountered Jan Peacock, she was instantly baptized with the Holy Spirit, powerfully. Dennis comes into the shop from delivering flowers, wherever he was delivering flowers, and met Lonnie Frisbee right there in his shop. They became friends. They went out to dinner with a number of people. And on a given occasion, Lonnie asks Dennis, "Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit?" Dennis said, "Yes, I am." And Lonnie Frisbee lays his hands on Dennis, and Dennis is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Dennis has become a voice in the body of Christ today, a leader, a powerful leader for advancing the kingdom of God. I tell you the story for this reason and one reason alone. Lonnie Frisbee was an instrument of God in this couple's life that brought to them a dynamic of the Holy Spirit that they could never have found any other way. And the reason that Lonnie was able to do that was because he was confident in who he was. Although he had hang-ups like you would not believe, he still was able to obey God and do what God has asked him to do. Now, I want us as a church to come into that kind of individual victory in our lives so that we corporately as a church can be an instrument of righteousness and change in Grays Harbor. I've talked with our young leaders here in the church, and I'm believing for the culture to change in Grays Harbor. I'm believing that we as a local church can be an effective seasoning quality for this region. But it's going to take a change in the culture of this church. We can't resort to a Western American Christianity. We need a kingdom Christianity to arise. So where does God want you to experience change in your life? I mentioned three areas this morning that Christians in the modern day fall victim to. One is distractions. And I love to do, we live in an outdoor mecca here where there are so many things that we can do, from hiking to backpacking to fishing. All good things, but they can become a major distraction from advancing the kingdom. Sin is a downer. It'll take you out of the game quicker than anything. But there's an easy fix. Admit you've sinned, ask for forgiveness, and moving forward, go in obedience. But this third one is really the complicated one, because it's the way the enemy ensnares us. He cripples us. He plays with our head and he plays with our mind to take us away. And we give in to him. We coast in our insecurities and our discomforts and our disorders of life. And we think it's normal. Church, it's not normal. Kingdom is normal. Sub-kingdom is not normal for a kingdom man and a kingdom woman. How many want to ascribe to normalcy as a kingdom standard for your life? See, that's going to take a little bit of sacrifice. It's going to take energy well placed. Investment of time. David talked about time this morning. It's going to take an investment of money and resources. But at the end of the day, is there anything else that's more important? You tell me what's more important. And I've given my whole life to this journey. And I, by the way, I'll keep going the journey. I don't know anything else to do but to seek God with my whole heart, my whole mind, and with all my energy. So would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Could we ask the Holy Spirit to show us ways to perpetuate the kingdom of God with a life surrendered this morning? Can we take our rightful place without fear and intimidation? Can we do that? Can our aim be to be mighty in spirit, declaring and living out the whole counsel of God? And I want to end on that note, if I can, this morning. What is the note? The note is to be mighty in spirit. Mighty in spirit. That's the kind of person I want to be. Mighty in spirit. I grew up in an era of cartoons, okay? Just confessions. Mickey Mouse, Daisy. And then there came Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse. I mean, he was quite a notch above Mickey. Give that illustration to help us understand that God wants us to be mighty in spirit and to do exploits for Him, to rise above mediocrity. And as we move forward in these next weeks and months, I want you to do that. I want you to exercise your mighty in spirit muscles. And I'm going to give you a quick assignment before you leave today. Because we're going to pray over you and we're going to impart the Holy Spirit to you. And when the Holy Spirit rests on you, you become mighty in spirit. Mighty in spirit. You're not your average one. You're mighty in spirit. And I want you to start with your family. Begin to pray over your family. Pray for your family. Pray for your kids when they go to school. Pray the presence of God over their life. Pray the protection of God over their minds and their brains. Particularly if they're in an ungodly environment when it comes to public school and all of that. Could you take under your wing other brothers and sisters in the house, in the faith? In the church, who might be struggling over some things? Can you exercise spiritual might and began to pray. Some of our people are going through weighty matters. If God impressed upon you, somebody, could you or would you spend a whole night praying for somebody in the church for spiritual victory? Could you take the time to do that as a mighty man, a mighty woman of God? What about the culture of our church? Could you begin to intercede on behalf of a shift that God wants to bring to us as a people corporately, so that we can be an instrument of hope to this region? I'm here to tell you, I didn't ask for it, but a lot of churches, a lot of pastors look to this church, to you as a congregation, and to me as their pastor for leadership in this region. And if they do, are we holding up our end of pursuing God so as not to disappoint the body of Christ in this region? That's a weighty responsibility, don't you think? That God has put on our shoulders, and that tells me we just can't take life casually as much as we like to do fun things. We have weighing on us the advancement of God's kingdom in Grace Harbor. Amen? But you got to become mighty in spirit. How many like it when Ann prays and the anointing of God is released through her life? How many like it when Joel Chooks prays and the anointing of God comes upon your life? How many like it when Dave prays? I'm going to tell you, the day is here when you pray, others are going to like it because the anointing of God is resting on you just like it's resting on others, and you're going to see change because of that. I am so excited. I counted at least 40 people, and Simone is ministering to the Hispanic community early Sunday morning in the fireside room. This is beginning to become a move of God. This church can be effective if we will be mighty in spirit. And you can't go in the arm of the flesh. You've got to go with the might and power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. So lift your hands up. Would you do that right now? Ah, wow. Both hands, as high as you can lift them. There's no sense going half-mast here. Let's go full bore. Let's just believe for a fullness of God's anointing to rest on us together. Heavenly Father, this morning we stretch out our hands to you, and we realize that we have been born into your kingdom. We are citizens of your household. Your royal blood flows through our veins. And sometimes, Lord, we've gotten ourselves distracted. Sometimes, Lord, we've gotten ourselves tangled up in sin. And sometimes, Lord, we've even got ourselves so messed up emotionally we don't know what's up or down. But today you're fixing that for us. And we thank you for it. And we stretch out our hands to you, Lord. And we're asking, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God will come upon this, your people, in a powerful way this morning. And Lord, change our direction. Fill us with your fullness. Set us ablaze for your kingdom. Lord, change our life and change our culture so that not only we will be experiencing your fullness, but for those that we lift up before your throne. And when we pray, we would pray mighty prayers of the Spirit. We will be strong and mighty men and women of God, walking in the fullness of your anointing. So today, Lord, we release your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, touch your people. Let your grace come. Heal your people even now, Lord. Heal us from our inadequacies. Heal us from our disorders. Lord, let your Holy Spirit breathe upon us right now. And let healing come in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we lay those issues down. We don't pick them up again. We're going to walk in the might and the strength. Even as David did, and he was attacked from the left and from the right. But yet he arose to prominence in you because his eyes were fixed on you. And today, Lord Jesus, we fix our eyes on you. We're not self-pleasers, we're not people-pleasers, but we're going to be Jesus-pleasers in this place. And Lord, our confidence is going to come out of the fact that we are blood-washed sons and daughters of God. And we've been called to do exploits in this region, from raising the dead to speaking life into unsaved people. Whatever the range, Lord, you've called us to speak into that wholeness and life and be instruments of change for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. To you, Lord, we give all the credit and the glory. We pray. Amen. Now, do you realize, church, you've just been anointed for service? Do you realize the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you? Don't tell me you didn't feel anything. It's not about how you feel. It's when the Holy Spirit drops in on your life. And the first person that crosses you is going to experience the grace of God coming out of your life to them. Come on, let's give Jesus thanks this morning. I can't wait to hear reports this week of how you have encountered people and the Spirit of the living God has been upon you and made a difference in people's lives. I don't want you to forget assignment 3, which was what? I want you to pray for people of the church. Pray for your brothers and sisters. If you know of a situation where somebody's going through a hard time, I want you to pray. Even spend the whole night praying and seeking God, and we're going to see what the power of prayer can accomplish, because God is a powerful God. And if we'll align with a powerful God, who knows what the outcome will be. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a tremendous week. Tell me about your victories in this middle week portion. God bless you.
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.